This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Working our way through the second hour of Kelly and Company. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us. Wherever you're listening and around the world and whenever you're listening, whether it's to the live show at 2 p.m. Eastern or our repeat of the program at 5 p.m. Eastern time, whether you're listening in at AMI.ca or through TuneIn Radio, OOTunes, or the Radio Player Canada app, or so many different ways to check out our content here at AMI Audio. But do a search, if you would, for the Kelly and Company podcast, subscribe, and you can listen to the show anytime at your leisure. You can listen to the show in segment form, parceled out and available to you, or you can listen to the complete Kelly and Company podcast experience, where we even toss on an audio vanity card at the end. I'm Kelly McDonald, host of the program in the London, Ontario home studio. Ramya Muthan, my co-host over there in the home studio in Toronto.
So, Kels, if you're a fan of the show Big Brother, then you might have watched the finale of season 23 of Big Brother when house guest Brittany D'Angelo revealed to the world that she lives with autism. And she did this to bring awareness to autism and break the stigmas associated with it. And we love to talk to people who have goals and places they want to go when it comes to disability advocacy. And Brittany lives in Niagara Falls, New York. She has a master's degree in early childhood education, and she holds a certification in special education as well. Brittany's also gotten quite the following on TikTok and other social media. So we're really looking forward to talking to her more about everything that she's up to. Brittany, thanks for coming on Kelly and Company.
Oh my goodness. Guys, I am so honored to be here right now. I don't feel like I deserve that much of an introduction, but just thank you. Like, this is, I'm not even kidding you. This is my first like live radio interview, and I'm kind of freaking out right now only because I'm so excited it's you guys. Like, I'm right across the border, obviously. We love Niagara Falls, New York, and we love being 8 minutes away from Canada. So sweet. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. And honestly, you definitely deserve the introduction, because I was watching some stuff that you were a part of earlier today, and I'm like, wow, you're killing it out here. So first of all, let's go back to that moment I was talking about on Big Brother. How was it for you? How did it feel to reveal to everybody that you are on the autism spectrum, and, you know, to everybody in the house in Big Brother, but also to everybody watching, millions of people?
Yeah, it was one of the craziest moments of my life thus far, I have to say. It was so surreal, only because when I got cast for the show and when I was going through the casting process, I always had told casting, I was like, look, I want to tell my autism journey on my terms. I'm okay with America knowing the entire time and the country and the world knowing the entire time, but my house guests, they can't know. And the reason that was obviously, like I said in my speech, I didn't want to use it as a crutch or have me be coddled in the house for some reason. I didn't want there to be any excuses. You know what I mean? And it's either, at least in my experience, you either know what autism is or you don't know what it is at all. And for me, I didn't want any preconceived notions as to autism is something that deals with the brain. This is why she's acting this way. Or, oh, she's crying and having a fit because of this. You know what I'm saying? So yes. I just wanted to play as Brittany. And I didn't want the label or the diagnosis to get in the way of me just getting to people just getting to know me for me. And so being able to finally share that on finale night, I'm not kidding you, I was shaking from the moment that I got on that stage on finale night. I'm putting my key in for Xavier to win the game. I'm thinking about my speech. I knew what key I was doing. Obviously, we all had an idea. I mean, I had an idea going into it, but then hearing the answers to the questions that Xavier and Derek gave really solidified for me that Xavier was meant to win the season. But as I'm putting his key in there, I put his key in, I sit down, and I'm directly thinking about my speech. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's coming up in 5 minutes. Then I stand up and I finally say my speech. And it was just one of the craziest moments of my life. Like, it was finally telling your family one of your biggest secrets. But also, not even that, though, like, I was able to finally share and express my most vulnerable part of myself, which I didn't get to share with all of them. And we had so many personal conversations in the house. And I wanted to tell so many of them my story in the house, but I knew that I couldn't, because I knew what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I also knew that I didn't want anyone to look at me differently if they had that preconceived notion of what autism is. But I mean, the response that I've gotten from the country, the world, and my house guests has been nothing short of overwhelmingly positive. And I literally cannot thank everybody enough for just accepting me with open arms with it. It has been one of the craziest things I've ever done.
Wow. When did you, when would you say that you knew I'm going to do it at this point while dealing with, through the show, those moments where I'm sure, you know, you almost wanted to say something.
Yeah.
And always controlled by, this is the way I see it should be. This is the way I feel it should be. But that must have been a fight in itself. But at what point did you know I'm waiting on closing night is really the ideal time? Like, I guess intellectually you know that, but how do you deal with it on that moment of those feels, the feelings?
Oh, it's tough. I mean, Azza was my best friend in the house. And I wanted to tell Azza at least 17 times in that house. There were so many moments where I went in the DR and I was like, I just want to tell Azza, like at least just Azza. And I was like, I can't. And like, I always stopped myself. And I always was like, look, I was like, cause I made the decision before going on the show that I was going to wait till finale night. That was a decision that before I even went in the house, that was known. And so like I said, I was going to share with America, but with everybody in the house, it was not going to be shared at all. Even in the jury house, like everybody in jury shared all of their secrets. I was the only one that did not share that fact and the karate fact, because I knew both of those. The karate one, I wasn't sure if that one was going to get shared on finale night, but that one I also saved. So they were like, you also saved this secret. We're going to tell them what it is. And then obviously the autism one was the biggie. But mm-hmm. I mean, so many times. I mean, when those house guests become like family, and the fact that I couldn't tell my family members one of the most vulnerable parts of me is so weird.
Yeah, and it's harder the closer you get to people.
And it feels like a betrayal.
It would have answered, I feel like, so many questions for them, because there would be times, I mean, not even them, because it really would have just been Azza and Derek that would have had things answered. Because sometimes in the house, like in terms of me sub-vocalizing, sometimes I just need to ask somebody a question to make sure that I saw things correctly, like my perception was correct. So sometimes I would ask Azza, hey, this happened this way, right? And she'd be like, yeah, why? I'd be like, no reason, just need the clarification. Thank you. And I would walk out the door. They had no idea what that was for, but that was so that I could know that my perception was 100% correct, because in the outside world, that's my mom. Like my mother is my best friend, my rock, my village, the one who has been advocating for me from the get-go. I would not be a fourth of the woman I am today. Not even a sixth of the woman I am today without that woman in my life. She is the best. Shout out to Kathy D'Angelo. We love her regardless.
Wow.
I did not have my mother in that house. I didn't have that rock, that 100% trust in that person. So I relied on Azza and Derek as those people.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, totally. But it is a big decision, right, Brittany? Like, as you said, as you're kind of pointing out here, there are absolutely reasons day in, day out, but also you made the decision to wait till finale night to tell people. So talk about that in relation to kind of the stigmas that surround ASD and why you want to break them. You know, that point forward, it's kind of a whole different journey now because everybody knows.
No, absolutely. And so, I mean, the reason why I waited to say anything was because, like I said, I didn't want to use my disability as a crutch, or I didn't want to be coddled, or I didn't want people to look at me differently. Because I mean, unfortunately, I've had some people in my life who I've told, I haven't told a ton of people outside of the show, obviously, like before the show happened, I didn't tell a ton of people that I had autism. Because honestly, unless I like 150,000% trusted you, I didn't feel like you needed to know. Because like I always say, my autism is my superpower, but it doesn't define every aspect of my identity. I am so much more than the label or the diagnosis. So for me, I've had so many instances where I've been just like, they think it's insane. They would have never been able to tell. But then I have other things where they start looking at me as if I'm less than right from the moment that I say that, or they look at me as if I need help, or if I'm different or difficult. Like those are words that I've had describe me throughout my childhood, because it has not been all peaches and cream. Obviously I'm here in this position now, but my journey has not been easy. It has been a tough, tough road with a lot of people who told me I couldn't do a lot of different things. Thankfully, my therapist, when I was doing applied behavioral analysis therapy, said, she's stubborn, she'll be okay. And that has stuck throughout everything I've done in my life. But no, I mean, there is a stigma that exists on, I mean, there's so many stigmas that exist with autism, but one of the biggest that I've seen is that because autism is a disability that affects the brain, somehow that means that we are less than, and that we are less intelligent, and that we are not capable of doing things and everything else that everybody else can do. And there's such a focus with people in the neurodivergent community on what we can't do as opposed to what we can do. And I have no idea where that started. And I really just, I want to take a hammer and just bash that fact down alone.
No kidding.
Yep.
Because if that was the mentality of my life, focusing on what I can't do, I would not be anywhere I near
You'd do
where
nothing.
I am today.
You'd do nothing.
We would just sit down. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, we're not, people who are neurodivergent are not that different. And one of the most beautiful things about autism is that it's a spectrum. And I always say it's not just about my story. It's about sharing everybody's stories, because we have so many different stories that are just so incredible. And people just don't understand that we can do everything anybody else can do. We just have a different way of doing it. And different isn't bad. It's just not.
No. No, it's not. Yeah. And so many of us are made to be frightened of it at those times in life. I understand, with you being a teacher now, what do you feel you bring to the classroom to help the students succeed, especially if you have any that might happen to have autism?
You know, for me, I would say the number one thing that I bring to every classroom is my energy. And I think that's a given,
tell.
But
yeah, for sure.
You know, I love what I do. You know what I mean? Like, I love teaching. I love teaching my kiddos.
So
right
important.
Now I'm a substitute, and it's so great because I've been in our building, because I'm a building base, so I stay in the same building every day. I've been in 23 out of the 37 classrooms in our building. So now I know all the students. All the students know me from TikTok. And so that's a conversation we always have every single morning we do bell work, no matter what class I'm in. But like, I love playing games with the kids and challenging them. And even though I'm a substitute, that doesn't matter to me, because to me, even though I'm a sub, I'm the extension of the teacher's arm. So it is my job to continue on what they've been doing. And I need to make sure they are learning at the same pace that if their teacher would be here, they would be learning with their teacher. So like, I love just making learning fun and energetic. And also, I have an extra added layer of patience. And don't ask me where that came from, because patience was the thing that I was working on my entire life. But somehow in teaching, I have it to an extended level, my patience.
Yeah.
But I really do have a patience for all kids. And I love giving them more than one chance. I'm a huge person on second chances. You learn from the first, you improve on the second. I'm huge on that.
Nice.
But I love the fact that I can be that voice for my kids. Even though I'm the sub, I can give them a really cool experience being the sub. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, we have a sub today. It's like, oh my gosh, we have Miss D'Angelo today. We're going to learn so much. That's how I want the attitude to be. And I feel like for me right now, not having my own classroom, that's what I can bring.
And that's kind of cool, because you did say you didn't really mind like what age, what kind of classes, what you taught, right? You just wanted to teach. Like, it was so in you to want to teach. And that comes through with what you're saying. You get to know everybody individually and give them the chances. Can we talk a little bit about your TikTok? Not just the following, but the kind of things you put up there? Because I, like your students, am really curious to know, what has your experience been like since you've been on TikTok?
Yeah, it's been surreal. I'm going to be really honest with you. That was my first introduction into what is social media, Brittany? Because during COVID, I was working with Missoula Children's Theater, the largest children's theater company in the world, started my contract May of 2019, ended it when the pandemic hit in March 2020, I got laid off. I come back home and I'm like, I really want to dance. Like, I just want to dance and just have fun and keep my skills up to par so that when the next audition comes, I'm ready. And so I just started doing dance videos because I wanted to keep my skills up to par. And then that turned into a couple viral videos. Then that turned into dancing. Then that turned into doing different dances for different causes. I've done dances dedicated to cancer patients, to sexual assault victims. I've done dances dedicated to autism acceptance. I just like any category, spina bifida, cerebral palsy, any category you can think of, I've probably done a dance for at this point. I've done a dance, supporting the American Heart Association for Red Day. I've just any cause that you can think of. I've created days for people who just needed a little bit more encouragement, who were really, really hurting and just needed a day to know that people love them. It's now turned into a space where I can just spread positivity and happiness through dance. And it is one of the most special things that I've ever done. Like, right after this radio interview, I'm going to film my next dance. Hint, it's from High School Musical, because that's what I want to do. And I'm really feeling inclined to keep doing High School Musical dances because it was just the 16th anniversary. You know, like, I love what I get to do every day, and it never gets old. Like, me getting to dance and do dances is so much fun. Oh, it's amazing. I feel so blessed for my TikTok platform. It's amazing.
Well, and I think the big thing is you get to use that energy. You get to have fun and reach out to people. So tell us where we can find out, you know, more about you, but also those wonderful comments people have for you and how that feels.
Yeah, you know, so I do. So where you can find me is definitely going to be Instagram and TikTok. Those are my two main platforms. Both of them are Brittany_D'Angelo. And then Twitter, I'm still learning how to use. Twitter is Brittany D'Angelo. But no, I've had a lot of really cool articles. I had one published in Black Belt Magazine. One came out yesterday on Forbes, which that one was absolutely insane. And I cried reading that article. It was fine. I've had articles come out on Dance Teacher about me. So I have no like official website, unless you want to know like what my teaching standards are that I really like to do, which I don't think anybody wants to read. It was fine. It was for a project in my master's seminar class, my last semester. So I would say those are probably the best places to find me.
Awesome. Well, it was super nice talking to you, Brittany. We have like 30 seconds. So any last words from you before we let you go?
Oh my gosh. I just cannot thank you guys enough for just letting me come on and talk to you guys. It's just so incredible. You both are so lovely. And just thank you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for bringing great energy to our show. Yeah. And just so many things that you're doing out there to spread awareness and not just in the autism world, but everywhere. And your support and people, I'm sure, get plenty of smiles when they're watching
you're
you dance.
You're bringing people up.
Oh, yeah. And you're giving them energy, which we all need right now.
We got to bring that energy. So you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you so soon. Thank you so much, guys.
Take care. We were speaking with Brittany D'Angelo about her goal to spread more awareness on autism and, of course, her experience on Big Brother, the big reveal, and her experience with TikTok, with teaching. Just, wow, so much to learn about her. And Kels, I really love that she just flaunts her identity. There's just so much to, you know, how we represent ourselves. We talk about representation of the community a lot on the show, but how you represent yourself and say, hey, this is who I am. Take it or leave it, or take from it what you will. And I love that. That to me is so huge and so motivational to be a person with a disability.
I absolutely love her shout out to her mother as well, because, you know I was very close to my parents and really appreciate that I've had them and what they did for me. And Brittany certainly mentions how important that person there, that check, that grounder is. We'll take a break and see what's coming up tomorrow on Now with Dave Brown and preview our show after this.
Join me every couple weeks for the Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther podcast, where we learn about outdoor tech and tips. Plus, we look at news affecting the environment. AMI's Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther is available from your favorite podcast provider.